Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's scary stuff, isn't it?
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, this time once again joined by Jed Bryan, the writer and director for Unlisted Owner, the locally made horror film. Jed, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's you made me watch this film. Actually, you didn't make me. I love horror movies, so it wasn't that much of an arm twist. But it's released now. Last time we talked, it was not released. And now it's out on Amazon and a whole bunch of other aspects. We'll talk about where we can get it everywhere. Also, you got a signing coming up. I want to talk about that. But I want to talk about your film. I go to a lot of horror films. I love horror films, good or bad. The bad ones I love even more sometimes, you know? but I'm used to the horror films, okay? Your third act, when it got really scary, creeped me out. It scared me. I mean, and I don't get scared.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
I know, isn't that weird? But yeah, your third act, when they're I'm not going to spoil it because people need to watch this. It's a very, and you got to watch the whole thing. When you get to that, the into the house of the unlisted owner, it's just so, I mean, because you don't tell this, you don't tell what is happening. You don't hit people over the head with it. It's just happening, you know? And yeah, when you get in that house, it just happens, and like I said, I got chills, jump scare. You don't have that many jump scares in there. Only one that I could really think of that got me. But again, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to tell you where it was. So, what was it? How did you make it that creepy?
Well, the house kind of, you know, had its own personality to begin with. I mean, it's a very, very old house. I don't know exactly what year it was built, but, you know, it was a three-story house, you know, and the whole upstairs is wide open. And, I mean, when we were in the process of shooting, there were several people that came by. It's like, yeah, I lived here, and, you know, my grandfather died. Because I guess at one point in time, it was a nursing home.
Oh, wow.
It's what people, I mean, I've heard all kinds of different stories, but people are like, yeah, my grandpa died in this room. And, I mean, just kind of, you know, it's a really creepy house.
Right.
So, I mean, that really kind of helped with the setup. And then, like I said, whenever I wrote the script, I kind of wrote it to kind of fit the house and what, you know, we had available to us. So it just, you know, everything just kind of fell into place with the creepiness, but the house was like the perfect, you know, perfect house for the perfect story.
I think absolutely, because, yeah, once you get into that house, that story just, I mean, it just rolls, and there's no controlling over what's going to happen next. And,
yep.
And the fact, and the way you'd filmed it, you know, the point of your found footage.
Yep.
That was, I think that even made it creepier, and going up and down the stairs, especially in the house. During the first part, and this is one thing I've said about Blair Witch Project or any other found footage. There's like a bazillion of them out there. It's a new genre.
Yes, yes.
Since Blair Witch. But the build up on those movies, and sorry to say yours too, they're kind of boring. But once you get into the action,
right?
Oh my God, yours, creepy as heck. But it's hard to build a story with found footage that looked like you're really wanting to.
Right, yeah, because you're limited to the perspectives that you can show unless you want to do, like, you know, where the killer has his own camera or something like that. And the way this film was designed, it was supposed to show crime scene footage. So you're seeing everything that was filmed throughout the day of the events, and it's been edited like crime scene footage. So that was kind of like what we were aiming for, is to make it look like, look, you know, try to make it look as believable as possible that a sheriff's department actually found this footage. They've edited it together for their own evidence purposes. So if they ever convict somebody or, you know, have somebody that they want to try to charge with the murders, they have all this evidence that's already edited together and has evidence placards and stuff. So that's kind of like what we were going for with, as far as, like, you know, kind of the buildup and stuff. And plus you're limited, like I said before, about, you know, the killer can't have a camera, or you're going to have, like, a completely different story. I mean,
yeah,
kind of weird anyway.
Yeah, true. Unless he grabs one of his victims, and that'd still be kind of weird. But, yeah, that's another thing. It's not only handheld cameras, but there's dash cams from cops. I'm trying to think. There was something else.
Like interrogation.
Interrogation room. That's right. Yeah, that was a good scene, too. But the guy's like, I mean, the guy playing this, being the interrogatee.
Yeah.
Was good.
Yeah, Tanner did a great job.
He looked scared. He looked like, why am I asking me? Or what? Yeah, it was good. So, and it's great to see local talent and local scenery. Now, this whole story in that film, Unlisted Owner, it takes place just in a 24-hour period, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We have the only part is the people who just recently bought the house.
Right.
That's the only part of the film, but everything else takes place in a 24-hour period.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because I was sitting there, I was like, man, what? Now it's dark and they're going to a cemetery. And I had to ask you which cemetery it was because you filmed it around here, and I wanted to know if it was one of them that I'd been to. Because it looked familiar, but I guess they all look the same in the dark.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk about real quick about you've got a DVD signing coming up. Now, this is available on Amazon, online, I guess. Can you get it online, watch it online?
Yeah. It's as far as DVD goes, it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's website.
Okay.
It was available at FYE and Best Buy, but I think it's sold out right now. But like I said, the main sites you can get it at is Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And as far as like VOD platforms, it's now been released on Amazon Prime, so you can watch it on Prime now if you have Prime. If you don't have Prime, you can still watch it digitally. Mm-hmm. It's available on iTunes, Google Play Store, YouTube, and one of my personal favorites is Microsoft Store because I have an Xbox.
So okay.
I had to buy it for my Xbox. You know?
Good point.
Yeah.
Now, you said, one of the places you just, I'm going to cut this out, one place you just mentioned.
Barnes & Noble?
Barnes & Noble. No, the available on demand.
iTunes, YouTube, Google Play.
That's it. Okay, so you said YouTube. Is that the new YouTube Red?
Yeah, where you have to pay for it,
yeah. Yeah, okay, so can't just go to regular YouTube and watch this. Yeah. And you've got to pay for it.
Yeah, you got to pay.
Well, let me tell you, you deserve the money for it, because like I said, I it's hard to scare me.
Yeah.
You did it. So,
awesome.
Now, so coming up here on February 10th, Saturday, you're going to be doing a signing of the DVD. It's in Barnes & Noble in Evansville, Indiana. So anybody in the area, if you're heading to Evansville, it's a great place to be. Where is this Barnes & Noble?
It's located on Green River Road.
Okay.
It's right down by Drosty's Jewelry Store or by Hooters, I guess.
Somewhere. Hooters, yeah, there's a good landmark.
So.
Oh, they have great wings.
Yep, there you go.
So, okay, so that's the end of town it's on. So Barnes & Noble, you're going to be signing from 1 to 2:30 on February 10th.
Yep.
You going to bring any of the actors with you?
Yeah, there's going to be some of the actors. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have an official head count, but there's supposed to be more than just me there. So everybody just come by, say hi. We'll have DVDs available for purchase, and we'll sign whatever you want. You know, just come out and say hi, take pictures, whatever you want to do.
Now, okay, so you're going to bring some cast members, whatever. And let me tell you, we were talking about this before the interview. You got a couple of them, they play... I mean, for lack of a better word, they play assholes on this movie. You're going to bring them? I want to see what they're really like.
Tyler and Gavin are supposed to be there unless something crazy happens.
Cool.
Last time I talked to him anyways. So, and then I think the guy, Levi Atkins, who plays the owner, is supposed to be there as well.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, but like I said, I'm not sure on anybody else, but so far those are the four that I think will be there out of everybody.
Cool. Yeah, and those are the guys that you hate the most in the movie, let me tell you. And it's like, and even when they get killed, I'm like, yes! Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to spoil it. But
oh, it's all good.
But yeah, those guys, I want to see what they're really like. We'll see what kind of personality they have, because that was some acting right there.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, because a lot of people, some of the people who've written reviews on, Amazon stuff are like, wow, those guys are such jerks, and stuff like that. And it's like, I almost feel like that they blur the lines between like reality and this is just acting. As I said, why would you be friends with these people? And it's like, well, both of them were in my wedding. And I mean, they don't act anything like that. That was just the part that they were, that's who they were portraying in the film. So it's kind of funny. It's like a double-edged sword, with found footage, because you want to make the acting look so believable and seem realistic. But at the same time, if you make it seem too realistic, people are like, oh, it was just some guy out, filming stuff with his
friend
or his buddies. But it's like, no, these guys were playing a part. This is, how they act.
And that's the best part about it on this one is those guys, because you hate them.
Yeah.
Watching that movie, you hate these guys. They do shots on the hood. They have to stop, and they all do shots while in the country roads.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like, God, I hate these guys. But knowing that they're your friends, that these guys are normal, nice people.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I want to meet them.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, whenever I was writing the script and I had Andrea and Heidi, who were playing mine and Griffin's girlfriends, you know, we had Tyler and Gavin, and we wanted to make it seem like, you know, us, the four of us guys were, like, the bestest friends. We always, you know, went out and had fun, always did crazy stuff together. But then when me and Griffin got, you know, girls, that we kind of started, you know, maturing, whereas they were still in, like, party mode and stuff.
Right.
So any time that we drag the girls along with us, they always try to make it hell to try to maybe get us back on their level again.
Right, right. Yeah, hey, let's get rid of those girls. They'll be the guys again. Yeah. Well, I think that's really portrayed well in the scene where they're loading up the pickup.
Yeah.
I think that's the best, because that tells that they've been friends forever.
Yeah.
And these guys are making fun of the other guys for having girlfriends. That came across really well in that scene. So, I mean, like I said, the build-up, it's a found footage. So, build-up, be expecting it. But when you get to that end, oh, my gosh. it's a ride.
Yeah.
And it's like a roller coaster ride where you go up and up and up at the beginning, and then the fall never ends. It just keeps going for like 80, or I guess, how many minutes is it?
74.
74 minutes, okay. So, so I'd say about 40 of those 74 minutes you're going downhill fast, uncontrollably. So... Yeah, well, so what do you got next in the works?
Well, like I said, I'm still trying to promote Unlisted Owner, and just kind of depends. I mean, we have several different projects we could do, but as far as, you know, what we make off of this film, it kind of determines which path we take as far as our next project. I mean, we have different ones. Like, we have the one that's like, you know, the front runner we like to do, but it's, you know, also the most expensive to make.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of just go down the list to different projects that we can do. So, like I said, it's just kind of like, you know, right now we're just kind of waiting to see, you know, what we can afford, you know, camera equipment wise and everything else to be able to, you know, make our next one. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So right now we're just kind of in promoting mode and, you know, trying to do the signing and just trying to get the word out and, you know, doing some contests and stuff like that. So
okay. So are you going to do another found footage, you think, or
that would be,
is that their hopes not
like,
to?
Or? I mean, I wouldn't mind doing an Unlisted Owner 2, but the next one I would prefer to do a traditionally shot one.
Just try
my hand. I mean, I've done some traditionally shot stuff, like I did the Meth House teaser trailer for that script I had written, and then we did the GoDaddy commercial contest. But, you know, as far as a feature-length film, I've never done something traditionally shot. So, in a way, if you shoot something traditionally, it is a little bit easier than found footage, because whenever, you know, if you're shooting traditionally and you do like you do shorter scenes, so if there's a mistake, you know, you can cut back and forth a lot easier. But on found footage, you know, you can't really do that unless you want to do a whole bunch of hard edits, which we tried to stay away from.
Right.
And in the movie, you probably saw where there's some scenes that seemed like they went on forever.
Yeah.
But there was like probably like, well, for instance, the attic space scene where you know, Tyler in the attic space. There was probably about 7 edits within a minute.
Wow. So, I didn't notice those.
Yeah, there was actually no attic space in the house, so we actually had to have a set built. So we actually had a fake room built for that scene.
Wow. So, it seemed like just one constant shot.
Yeah.
I mean, you did the... Yeah, perfectly.
Yeah, the road trip scene was another one that was, you know, there was probably... probably 5-6 edits in that whole road trip sequence. Something kind of funny is whenever we were getting ready to go into the cemetery, we shot that scene and we put it in the editor, and I'm like, something's not right here, because we did the blend edit to where Gavin takes the keys out of the vehicle and we're supposed to go in the cemetery without spoiling too much.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I leave the vehicle, I would dip the camera down and I'd cut, and then I'd go back in the camera. They would, you know, and then I'd come back out of the vehicle and, you know, do the rest of the scene, and when we cut those and put them together, it would look like one fluid motion, because it looked like I was just dropping my camera as I was going out of the vehicle.
Oh, okay, yeah.
When we put it in the editor, kept noticing something wasn't right, and I was talking to my assistant director, Brent, who co-edited it with me. I was like, something's not right. He goes, yeah, I don't know what it is, and we just kept, because we kept seeing that edit, and then I realized that my actors had gotten cold. So, Gavin took the keys out of the vehicle, and they got cold, so I just had them start it and leave the lights off. Well, not thinking that it went from vehicle not running, and now I'm outside the vehicle and it's running, and you never heard it start up.
Oh, okay.
So we had to go back and reshoot that scene of me leaving the vehicle with no keys.
Oh, wow.
And then it was like, I think it was like probably like a 6 month difference, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, in that scene. Yeah.
Wow, I got that, couldn't tell that either. So. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it just looks like, definitely once you get to the house, it looks like a continuous shot going. The edits were great in there. Of course, the beginning, and that's the thing, a traditional film, you can tell a story any way you want to.
Yeah.
With found footage, you're limited.
Yes, you are.
And I'm surprised you tried to tackle that right off the bat.
It was a challenge because you're limited to, unless you want a movie where you have like multiple points of view, and I didn't want to really go that route. Mm. Like we discussed earlier, you know, if the killer has a security camera, or, you know, I just wanted to make it to where, you know, this was footage that was found of these, you know, of these events that took place.
Right. So, well, you pulled it off, I thought.
Well,
so,
I appreciate that.
And it's really nice to have someone local, you know. I mean, yeah. We're in a small part of Illinois, you know.
Yes.
There's not much around here.
Right.
Now we got filmmakers.
Yeah, there you go.
So, it was really impressive. So, and like I said, get to that third act when you watch this, and trust me, you get creeped out. I mean, it's a great date film at that point.
Yes, it is.
Because you'll want to hug. So, once again, February 10th, Saturday, from 1 to 2:30, is going to be at the Evansville Barnes & Noble, Evansville, Indiana. Going to be signing copies, and some of the actors will be there. Of course, it all schedules always change, too, so that, who knows. But you're guaranteed to be there.
I will be there 100%.
So, but I want to meet the other guys. I want to just... Like I said, I hated them.
Yeah.
You pulled it off.
Yeah.
I hated them.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's what we're aiming for. We wanted to make it, you know, seem like, you know, these guys were, you know, the partiers that would, you know, they're the ones who get you in a bad situation, as you would see.
Yeah, definitely so. And that's the thing. We were talking about that. The Amazon reviews, most of the reviews I saw talked about how these guys were jerks. If there's anything negative said, it was talked about how these guys are jerks. I'm like, and now... Finding out that they aren't jerks. It's okay, they did your job.
Yeah.
So, Saturday, February 10th, 1 to 2:30, Eastern time. Or is that Central?
Central.
Okay, because I forget if Evansville, they're weird. Yeah, they're on Central time. So, head on out there, get a DVD. They'll sign things.
Yeah.
They'll sign, T-shirts and bras and...
just buy a movie.
just buy a movie. It's all there. Actually, you know, it's funny. Lloyd Kaufman from Troma Vision, he says, I don't, when he's ever at cons, he goes, I don't care what you buy. As long as it's got my name on it and the money goes to me, you buy it, I'll sign anything else you got. So
there you go.
So it's good attitude to have. So, all right. Well, Jed, thanks again for joining us here on the podcast. And lots of success. By the way, I just got to ask. How's the film selling? How's the sales going?
I assume okay. I mean, I assume good. I haven't heard from my distributor yet. We fell off the top 100 hot new horror release list, but we stayed on the list for 15 weeks.
Wow.
So, and I mean, we made it up to number 9 on Amazon's hot new horror release and future release for DVD. So I was very thrilled with that. I mean, I got screenshots of, you know, Unlisted Owner right ahead of It, and Happy Death Day.
Wow.
And probably the coolest... screenshot I got of like us on the list was they did a re-release of Night of the Living Dead, Jordan Harris, on DVD, and I got to meet him when I went to Days of the Dead in Indianapolis, and to have my film right in front of and I got to meet him, so I like had a picture, you know, of me and George together, and then our films, you know, right there on the list. So I just, you know, that was kind of like a high point in my career for sure. To see, you know, my name right there with George Romero.
Heck yeah, definitely. So that is awesome. Well, I knew that you were on the Hot 100 for quite a while, 15 weeks. That's a good run.
Yeah, I was very, very pleased with that.
And being a horror film, you know, the horror season, if you will, is pretty much over right around Christmas. So,
whenever we peaked at number 9, that was in October.
You know, really?
That was the stiffest competition, because I think I had done the podcast with you back then.
Yeah,
and that's whenever we hit 9, and it was just like, wow, this is crazy. You know, we're going up against, you know, Walking Dead season 7, American Horror Story season 6 at that time, and it was just crazy to see, you know, the movie, you know.
An independent film right there.
Yes, shot in Lawrence County, California.
I know. That's great. It's a great sign. And hopefully you'll do that, continue to do that. Any other films you got coming out? I'm ready to talk to you about them.
Awesome.
Even if they're not horror films, I guess.
Well, I love horror, so more than likely it'll be a horror
film. Good. Because you definitely creeped me out on this one. So, all right, well, Jed Bryan, Enlisted Owner is the name of the movie. Again, you can get it on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, iTunes, all sorts of places. You can find it out there. YouTube Red. And I think with YouTube Red, Amazon Prime, you said that?
Yeah.
That can be on, if you got a Roku, you can watch it at home.
Yeah. If you have Prime, you can watch it for free on Prime. So.
Wow.
But yeah, everybody who comes out to Barnes & Noble, if you have any questions about filmmaking or the process or how I was able to get the film to where it is, you know, feel free to come by and, you know, talk to us, you know. We're not shy.
So you're not just there signing things and looking fancy. You're going to actually, if people got questions, you got to answer. Okay. Nice. All right. Well, once again, Jed Bryan, Saturday, February 10th, 1 to 2:30. That's when you can catch him signing. And if you have any other book signings, let us know, or book signing, DVD signings, let us know. We'll pass those along as well.
Awesome.
And so, again, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
As we say at the end of every podcast, stay nerdy.